And this time on Culture File, we are naming names, or at least assessing their persistent, maybe mystical, certainly economic potency. And the person nominated for that task is our regular brand wrangler, Owen Nolan, and this is his latest, slightly unreasonable point of view.
Naming names. Every day, somebody, somewhere, names a new product. According to one Harvard business professor, who has apparently been counting, more than 30,000 new consumer products are launched every year, and 80% of them fail. No doubt some of these failures are down to brands having unfortunate names. Most of us have limited experience of naming things. We live in a world where, generally speaking, everything has already been given a name. The first opportunity afforded to most of us to flex our naming muscle is in coming up with a name for an imaginary friend or a pet. Unless we're in the business of writing stories or telling lies, the next big occasion is the naming of offspring. Even then, some of that is pre-decided. So when people go to choose a name for their venture, company or brand, they may not have had much prior experience, and it can be good to understand exactly what is at stake. A brand name can communicate the purpose of a brand and the scope of its ambition or even its range. Not so long ago, Dublin had two shops that had chosen two very different ways of setting out similar stalls. One was named Just Pianos, while the other was called Pianos Plus. The latter is happily still with us. Most brand names are empty vessels that the brand experience fills with meaning. Yet first impressions are lasting, and the initial encounter with a brand, like the name of a person you've just met, can be hugely influential in forming those lasting impressions. Names have power. The origin of brand names can be broken down into various categories. They can be derived from founders' names or family names, like McDonald's, or geographical locations, like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Brands prosper and spread, with the nod to geographic roots in their names potentially presenting a challenge for deliveries, as Avoca moves beyond Avoca and Donnybrook Fair beyond Donnybrook. Geography can be more important for some products than for others. Where chocolate is made is generally less relevant than where whiskey is distilled. Place has its place. Even among rival brands, names can range from the aspirational, Nike, after the Greek goddess of victory, to the more prosaic, Adidas, after the company's founder, Adolf or Adi Dassler. Brand names can be neologisms, newly coined words that may be easier to own and trademark. These were particularly popular in the late 19th and 20th century. George Eastman went for the name Kodak because it was easy to say in different languages and had a K at each end. Eastman didn't live to see a Xerox photocopier, but probably would have liked the name. The brand name Google was nearly a neologism, as it's a misspelling of Google, a word meaning one followed by 100 zeros, which is probably their profit target. Better, perhaps, than their original name of Backrub. Portmanteau words are fusions of different words, usually two, occasionally more than two. These can usefully combine meanings to describe the function of a product or service, like PayPal, MasterCard, or Facebook. They can also combine a function or location with an aspiration, like Kerrygold, or Accenture, which came from the phrase accent on the future. Portmanteau names resurged in the tech boom with examples like YouTube, Netflix, or Instagram dominating. These playful two-part names may help the technologies they represent be welcomed by technophobes and certainly make them seem accessible. Of course, technology brands have a habit of outgrowing their original brand names. The business expands into new areas and can become confined by the name they began with, which explains the number of three-letter acronyms coy about their longer meanings, like UPC, IBM or NTL. Other names evolve in different ways, reflecting the evolution of the endeavour. Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, founded in 1902, soon moved beyond both Minnesota and mining, if not manufacturing, but kept a connection to the three M's of their name by restyling as 3M. Manufacturing an array of products from Scotch tape to Post-its, they remain a Fortune 500 company. Who owns the rights to certain names is a recurring question that keeps the wolf from lawyers' doors. A legal battle between Apple Corp, ba-dum-tsh, the company owned by the Beatles and behind their Apple record label, and newcomer Apple Computer ran for nearly 30 years, with an agreement precluding Apple Computer from ever creating music or face being sued again. When an alert based on a musical note was introduced in the Macintosh System 7 OS, rumour had it that sound was to be called Let It Beep. In the end, it was given what appeared to be a Japanese name in a cheeky nod to the legal department. It was called Sosumi.
Owen Nolan there on The Power of a Name, a subject we'll be returning to all this week on Culture File.